reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, discussing the story of Kalidas the Nectar Hound. And we heard that Kalidas, he had the habit of taking the remnants from all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. And he didn't consider whether they were high or low. He took from Brahmins, he took from Shudras, he even took from a lower caste than that. And as the story ensues, Kalidas is visiting the home of Jadu Thakur, and Kalidas has brought some very first-class mangoes to give to Jadu Thakur. And Jadu Thakur is feeling so humble that he wants to invite some brahmanas, or actually arrange for some neighboring brahmanas to cook prasad for his exalted guest, Kalidas, because he doesn't feel that he's qualified to cook or present him with any food. Then Kalidas goes on to say, "No, you're a great devotee, and you're so, there's no need for that. Just please accept these mangoes." And then Jadu Thakur says, "Actually, I'm very fallen." And they go back and forth like this, speaking in their own language of Bengali. Kind of, we called it the humility Olympics. They were competing with each other to try to become lower than the lower. And then finally, Kalidas, he resorted to Shastra, because Shastra is the ultimate authority. So he started quoting verses from Shastra to prove his point that if someone is a Vaishnava, if they've taken Vaishnava Diksha, and they were serving Krishna, then they're more than a Brahmin. Their disqualification or their jati dosh, their fault of birth or family is completely exonerated by taking Vaishnava Diksha, which is second birth, dvija. So then, Kalidas recited this verse we read yesterday, and then another verse. He was saying, "Vipra dvi shad guna yutad aravindanava, padaravinda vimukat sopacham sopacham virishtam manye tadarpita mano vachanart manchit arta pranam punati sakulam taburi manaha." This is a verse from Bhagavatam, Canto 7, verse 9. Excuse me, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse 10. This is Narada Muni's teachings. "A person may be born in a Brahmin family and have all the 12 brahminical qualities. But if in spite of being qualified, he is not devoted to Krishna's feet, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandal, who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, and wealth and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmin family or to have brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a swapacha or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his whole family. Whereas a brahmana who is not a devotee but simply has brahminical qualifications cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his family." So Narada Muni is extolling the supreme position of a swapacha who becomes transformed by Vaishnava Diksha and by receiving mantra Diksha. His disqualification of birth becomes totally removed and becomes so qualified and so purified and so qualified that not only does he have all good brahminical qualities, but he becomes so purified he can deliver himself and he can deliver all his family members. Or some Brahmin who has a good birth, he's born in a Brahmin family, he may have all good brahminical qualities, humility, tolerance, peacefulness. But if he's not a devotee, it means he may be a smarta Brahmin or Advaitin Brahmin. But if he's not a Vaishnava, he can't deliver himself, what to speak of his family, because no one can get liberated without bhakti. No matter what we do, without a contact of bhakti, there's no chance for liberation. And then he goes on, he's really reciting a lot of verses here. And this is another one from third canto. "Aho patashwa pacho to gariyan yasji vagre vartate namatubhyam te pastapaste juhuvu sasnur arya brahman uchur nama grinanti yete." My dear Lord, this is, I'm not sure, maybe Kapila or Sanat Kumara. I'm sure it's third canto. It's Kapila? It's Kapila Shiksha. A famous verse, Prabhupada quotes it so many times. "My dear Lord, anyone who always keeps your name, on his tongue is greater than an initiated Brahmin, although that person may be born in a family of dog eaters, and by material calculations, therefore, he's the lowest of men. Nevertheless, he's glorious. That is the wonderful power of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who chants the holy name is understood to have performed all kinds of austerities. He studied all the Vedas, performed all the great sacrifices, Vedic yajnas, and he has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. It is he who is factually the Aryan. Shuni Thakura kahe shastra e satyakai se shreshtai che jante Krishna bhakti hoy. Hearing all these quotations from revealed scriptures, Satya Shastra, very nice, Satya Shastra. Jada Thakura replied to Kalidas, yes, what you're saying is true, for it is the version of Shastra. It is true, however, for one who is genuinely advanced in devotion to Krishna. This is about the third or maybe fourth time which Jada Thakura will say he's Ami Nicha Jati, Amara Nahi Krishna Bhakti. Throughout the whole dialogue between Kalidas and Jada Thakura, he's saying that I'm Ami Nicha Jati. I'm very fallen. He said, such a position that you're describing may befit others, but I do not possess such spiritual power. I belong to a lower class and have not even a pinch of devotion to Krishna. He says, Nahi Krishna Bhakti, Anya Aiche Hai. He says, I don't have any Krishna Bhakti. Of course, this is usually the mentality or mood of a very advanced devotee. They feel like they have no advancement or no actually attachment for Krishna. Whereas when someone first joins a spiritual institution, and they chant Hare Krishna, and they do some service, and they learn a few shlokas, they give a class or two and learn how to lead a kirtan. After a month or two, they think they're like a pure devotee. Especially they go on the streets and they recite a few verses, and people say, oh, you're so smart. Do you know Sanskrit? And then you may even say yes if you're really, really buffed up. But if you're a little bit honest, you say, no, I learned a few shlokas. I don't know any Sanskrit. At any rate, you know more than I do. You're really smart. You're really learned. So we think that we're already there. After a month or two, we think we're quite advanced. And then when we start reading more and we realize what is the standard of advancement, then we feel rather hopeless. But then that guru picks us up again and instills hope in us and gives us encouragement. And then we hope against hope and we go forward. The Prabhupada gives a purport here. And Jada Thakura presents himself as being born in a low caste family and not having the qualification of a bona fide devotee of Krishna. He accepts the statements declaring a low-born person. He accepts the statements declaring a low-born person. He accepts the statements declaring a low-born person highly exalted if he's a Vaishnava. However, he feels that what these descriptions from Bhagavatam that Kalidas is quoting, they describe others, not himself. Jada Thakura's attitude is quite befitting a real Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava never considers himself exalted, even if he factually is. He is always meek and humble, and never thinks that he's an advanced devotee. He assigns himself to a lower position, but that does not mean he is indeed low. Sanatan Goswami once said that he belonged to a low caste family, although factually he was born in a Saraswat Brahmin family. Due to the politics of the time, he associated with Mlechas and Yavanas in his service as a government minister. Similarly, Jada Thakura presented himself as someone who belonged to a low caste, but he is actually elevated above many persons born in Brahmin families. So elevation, it's all about consciousness, not about janam. So in the Vaishnava circles, we measure someone not by birth, by consciousness. How conscious of Krishna are they? So Jada Thakur was always conscious of Krishna. He was always chanting the Lord's name at every moment. And he had all the good qualities of the demigods. But he was thinking, I'm tarnished. I'm eternally tarnished or stained due to this low birth. Once I met some Brijvasi friend of mine. He's born in a very high class, cultured family in Vrindavan. And he engages in preaching Bhagavatam around the world, traveling and speaking Bhagavatam. And then he came here to visit us recently. And he offered obeisances. And I, of course, offered obeisances also. I said, what are you doing? I mean, if anybody from Vrindavan saw you doing this, they would cast you away. You know, I'm such a fallen person from such an ignoble background with unidentifiable gotra, and you're such an exalted Brahmin, such lineage. And then he said, no, that I am offering obeisance because you're a Krishna's devotee. You're a Krishna's devotee. At least he's seeing like that. That's his broad vision. So he said, that's not you. You're not that anymore. You're a Brijvasi. Because we lived at their guest house, one of his father's guest houses for 4 or 5 years. And he said, I know you. You're a Vaishnava. You're a devotee. So that's why I'm offering obeisances to your consciousness, not to your body. To your bhakti, not to your body. When the South Indian Brahmins came to Vrindavan in 1974 to do the installation, Pran Pratishtha of Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sundar, these Rangaji Brahmins are very exalted and very wonderful personalities, but they wouldn't take anything. They wouldn't eat any food on the property. If we offered them Mahaprasadam, they would say, no, thank you. If we offered them water, which is Jamuna water coming from the ground of Vrindavan, they said, no, you touch this water tap. This water tap is on this land, which was purchased by this ISKCON. So they would go off the land somewhere downtown to Jaipuria guest house, and they would take their water there and their food there. Because they considered once condemned, always condemned, to that extent. Even there's a story in one book in the introduction to Ardha Sadhana by Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. And he's writing there that I remember your Prabhupada, your Bhaktivedanta Swami. Very early on, I had met him somewhere with his disciples. And he offered me some Mahaprasadam. Or his disciples offered me some Mahaprasadam. Maybe in Mayapur. And I, when they offered it to me, I'm born in a Brahmin family. Because Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj is born in a Brahmin family in Bengal, East Bengal. I'm born in a Brahmin family, and these people are offering me Mahaprasadam, but we don't know these people, where they're from. And it's questionable. So I very respectfully declined. But actually, in my mind, I was feeling that these people are still Mlechas and Yavanas. They're not really transformed. So that was like in 1971 or so, 72, whatever. Then later, 1977, when Prabhu was leaving this world, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj met him in Vrindavan in his house. And our Srila Prabhupada was speaking to Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj and discussing about their Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur. And then our Srila Prabhupada, he asked Puri Maharaj, he said, can you do me a favor? He said, what's that? Will you take some Mahaprasad from Thakurji, some Mahaprasad from Radhasham Sundar? My disciples have just bought some Mahaprasad. And this is his own writing in his own book, Introduction to Art of Sadhana. He said, at that moment I realized that by the mercy of your Guru Maharaj, I learned something new about Mahaprabhu. Your Guru Maharaj, your Srila Prabhupada, he helped me realize the extent of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That as bell metal can be transformed into gold by an alchemical process, I realized that yes, actually these devotees have surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're carrying the banner of Gaudiya Vaishnavism around the world. They're chanting sincerely and serving their Gurudev. So all the faults of birth and childhood or whatever, they're all eliminated. Now they're actually Vaishnavas. They're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And this is all by the transforming power and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I realized all that at that moment. And I was amazed how your Guru Maharaj remembered. This is 71 and 6-7 years later. He knew that this was a sore spot in my own devotional realizations. It's Puri Maharaj's own diary. And so by your mercy of your Guru Maharaj, I began to understand that, yes, even people born outside of India or anywhere, Yari Deki Tahaka, Krishna Upadesh, any desh, any village, what's it, Prithiviti, Nagaradi Gram, right, any village, any gram, Lord Chaitanya's name will be heard. So at that moment, when your Guru Maharaj asked me that, then I flashed back on that initial meeting about this Mahaprasad, and I turned to him, I looked at him and said, yes, I'd be very happy to take some Mahaprasadam from your disciples' hands. So then he took the Mahaprasadam. So even Prabhupada is leaving this world, and usually when someone's leaving the world, they're very concerned with their own mind and their own business and what to speak of their future. But Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was leaving this world, but still he was concerned about preaching and uplifting others and expanding their conceptions, and moreover helping his godbrothers realize the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in his own words, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, he appreciated this. So here, Jeddah Thakur is saying, okay, you said all these nice things about dog eaters, but still, that applies to others, but not to me. So now this Olympics of humility is still going on. So now Kalidas, he realized he wasn't getting very far with Jeddah Thakur. Because this whole idea that Kalidas came to meet Jeddah Thakur, because he wanted to get Jeddah Thakur's remnants, Vaishnava Uchishta. So he brought him some first-class mangoes and was hoping that Jeddah Thakur would eat them, and then Kalidas would hide in the bushes and then run out and catch that leaf plate and lick the leaf plate like he did with everyone else. But Jeddah Thakur was so humble that Kalidas couldn't get anywhere. So even after trying to convince him by logic, by argument, and by shastras, then he resorted to Tari Namaskari Kalidasa Vidai Magila Jeddah Thakur Tave Tanra Ano Vraji Oila. Kalidas again offered obeisances to Jeddah Thakur and asked his permission to go. The saint Jeddah Thakur followed him as he left. Tanre Vidaya Diya Thakur Jadigare Oila Tanra Charana Chinna Je Tani Paadila. After bidding farewell to Kalidas, Jeddah Thakur returned to his home, leaving the marks of his feet plainly visible in many places. Because in those days in Mayapur, Navadvip, or this is rather, I forget where this is, what village this is, but people didn't have cement roads and asphalt roads. They had a dirt path here and there. So his footprints were clearly visible in dirt. So we'll see what's going to happen with those footprints. Se duli lana kali dasa sarvange le pila tandrani kote ekostane lukana rahila. Kalidas smeared the dust from those footprints all over his body. So this is the Bhaktapada duli, Bhaktapada jal, Bhakta chishta, teen mahabal. Somewhere, maybe even in the same section, talks about these three things have incredible power to give bhakti or prema bhakti. the Bhakta Padaduli, the dust from the feet of the devotees, and the water that washes their feet, Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Chishta, Mahabal. They're very strong, very powerful. Don't underestimate these things. You get the food remnants of the Vaishnava, the Maha Mahaprasad, or the dust of his feet, or the water that washes his feet. It can create so much eligibility and in the heart, and actually one can become so qualified to get prem just by one of these things. So now he did that, then he hid in one place near Jadavtakura's home. Jadavtakura gara jai, deki amarafal, manase Krishna Chandra Yarpilasakal. Upon returning home, Jadavtakura saw the mangoes that Kalidas had presented him earlier. That was the initial. When he met him in his home, then Kalidas presented him with some first-class mangoes. Within his mind, he offered them to Krishna Chandra. Manase Krishna Chandra Arpila Sakal. So, the whole idea is that we should always eat food that's offered first to Krishna. And people often think, oh, it's so much trouble. You have to get this offering played out, and you have to peel it, because Krishna doesn't eat apple peels. They told me in the temple, you have to peel the apple. Or if you're going to offer him orange, you just can't slice the orange in half. You have to peel the orange and then take out the little skin and take out the seeds. That's to be really pukka when you offer the Thakurji. So it takes a lot of time, and you have to ring the bell and light a stick of incense and put some tulsi leaf there. You have to wait a minimum of 10 minutes, and it should be at least 20 minutes. And I'm really hungry. And anyway, forget about all this stuff. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Smart prasad. That's nice. Thank you. So here, Jadavtakura, he's showing that we can also offer in our mind all the mangoes were offered in his mind. So Krishna accepts any service that we render with our body or our mind, that service is acceptable to him. All he wants to see is the arpan. Tan, man, dan, Krishna samarpan. Tan, man, dan. Tan is body and man is mind and dan is wealth. It can mean the wealth of your words or the wealth of your money or wealth of your youth, or wealth of whatever wealth you have. Tan, man, dan, guru samarpan or Krishna samarpan. Samarpan, completely that should be used in the complete worship of the Lord or Krishna. So he's saying here, Manasi Krishna Chandra Arpila Sakal. He offered everything, Arpila. He offered all the mangoes in his mind. So we can do this if we're pressed for time. The real thing is the devotion, is the consciousness. Oh Krishna, time is very short. I'm traveling. I'm in this circumstance. Of course, we should never be lazy or negligent in puja. This is also an offense to be negligent. And the example Rupa Goswami gives, someone reads in Gita that Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prachati. So the person's a Kropati, he's Mr. Birla. And he says, well, listen, Krishna's happy with a leaf and a little flower. So I offer him one tulsi leaf on a plate and a flower, that's it. It says in Gita that no, that's a misinterpretation. If you're a Birla, then you should offer chapan bhog every day to your Thakurji. You should offer according to your means. And very elaborate. If you have a facility for making elaborate external puja, that's very nice. If you don't, then you make whatever puja you can externally, and you make elaborate puja internally. All kinds of items for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is the point, is that our mood is offering to Krishna and pleasing Krishna. In terms of offering in the mind, this Manasi Krishna Chandra Yarpila Sakala, it reminds me once when there was traveling Sankirtan was going on, the traveling devotees on Sankirtan, the book distributors, they would pull into some parking lot, and there's a supermarket there. Then Guru Kripa and Guru Kripa's party, he used to pull out his Brahmin thread, and then he would chant Gayatri. And then after a few minutes, he would open his eyes and he said, "Listen, boys, I've just offered everything in a supermarket. I've just offered everything in a supermarket to Krishna. So now go in and take whatever you want and we can eat it." And then it became so popular, such a popular activity of his, that they would pull into a supermarket with their van, Sankirtan van, and then one of the boys would say, "Hey, Maharaj, why don't you throw a thread on this one?" throw a thread means take out your Brahmin thread and put it 2.5 times around your thumb and cover it and then chant the Vedic mantras. They said, "Hey, Maharaj, why don't you throw a thread around the Safeway, around the A&P or the whatever, these food markets, these big markets where they sell food." So it was like, so and then they would go in and collect all kinds of different things, all kinds of Mahaprasad from the supermarket. So it didn't waste any time because Sankirtan, so that was what, that's something like an offering in the mind. It was traveling Sankirtan style. You ever heard this before, Amyatma? Throw a thread on. Of course, then if you don't have a thread, because you know, maybe not everybody has a thread, so then there's always there's always the Sri Vishnu program. You stop at your local small store and you get a limpka. And you say, "Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu." we've seen that gone on. Maybe we did it a few times in the early days. That's not really quite the idea is the bhakti behind it, really. It really is, what is your mood? What is the basic mood? What is your basic heart? Is your mood and heart that I'm an enjoyer, and this is for my enjoyment, and oh, by the way, Krishna, please sanction my enjoyment. And that's not bhakti. But if the mood is that this is a really hot day, and this is a nice drink, and Krishna, you're in the temple, and you must be so hot. If you were here right now, I would pour this limpka into a glass with some ice cubes, and I would offer it to you. No, this is a mood. Bhakti is all about mood. It's not about actions. It's about mood, attitude. What's the actual? It's all consciousness. Consciousness is a way of seeing things, and of course, the acting is the last thing. But behind the acting is the consciousness. So it's more important to adjust our consciousness than our actions. Because the consciousness is adjusted and the actions automatically come to the purified point. They become transcendental. So, Kalidasi, or rather, Shraddha Thakur offered all of Kalidasa's boga mangoes in his mind. Kalara patuya kola haite amranish nikashiya tanrapat nitanredena kajena kushiya. Jada Thakur's wife took the mangoes from their covering of banana tree leaves and bark and offered them to Jada Thakur, who began to suck and eat them. There's different styles of eating mangoes. And there's different types of mangoes, actually. And some mangoes are specifically meant for sucking. If you're from America, you don't know all these things, but when you live in India, find out about all these things. They even have names. This mango is for sucking, this mango is for mango shake, and this mango is for after dinner, and this mango tastes like coconut, and this mango tastes... And this one is sweet and sour, and this one is too sweet. And they have a whole categorization of mangoes. And you read in Govinda Lilamrita how Radharani was preparing mangoes in different ways for Krishna's pleasure. So some mangoes she would just cut off the top and hand it to Krishna. He would squeeze them and just... Or sucking, he would suck the juice out. Well, this is going on also in the spiritual world. So these type of mangoes were sucking mangoes. Chaturvida Shri Bhagavat Prasada, Svadana Triptan Harivakta Sangan, Svadana Triptan. So there's satisfaction by eating in the different ways. Drinking, munching, crunching, sucking like this. So he's sucking these mangoes that his wife prepared. Then it says, it's very nice, the Bengali sounds pretty much like what's going on. Chushi chushi chosha anti, feli la patuyate, tari khao jana tanra, patni khaya paschate. So, kushi kushi. Is it kushi or siyu? Is ku or chu? Chu? Chushi. Chushi Chushi Chosha. Chushi Chushi means Chushi Chushi. I mean, it sounds like sucking the mango. It means sucking and sucking, and then Chosha, sucked. Anti, Anti means inside. The seeds were left. When Jatatakur finished eating, he left the seeds on the banana leaf, and his wife, after feeding her husband, later began to eat. Well, there you go. The old Vedic custom. First the man, then the lady. But in America, they say ladies first. The man opens the door and says, ladies first. But in Vedic culture, it's men first. Patriarchal culture. Or in modern terms, chauvinistic. Chauvinistic culture. It's a man's world. So, anti chosha se patuya kolate bharya bahire uchishta garte felaila lana. After Mrs. Thakur finished eating, she filled the banana leaves and bark with seeds, picked up the refuse, and then threw it into the ditch where all the refuse was thrown. The uchishta garte. In other words, the official garbage dump. Uchishta garte. There's an official place where they throw all... Uchishta means that after you've eaten, what comes out or what's left. Se kola anti chokala chushe kalidas chushite chushite haya premente ulas. Kalidas, who was hiding there all the time outside the house, licked the banana bark and the mango seeds, and while licking them, he was overwhelmed with jubilation and ecstatic love. Premete ulas. Ulas. Premulas. What is ulas? Ulas is, you're in a kirtan, there's Hare Krishna, and they're saying Hare Krishna. Then when the tempo starts picking up, and the tempo and the drums start beating faster and faster, and then the devotees saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and then the devotees, they start jumping. Saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Because the ecstasy or the thrill of the moment has moved their hearts to such an extent that they finally woke up. Their hearts have woken up after in the last minute of the kirtan. And then they kind of show a little bit of signs of life. Their arms go up and maybe their feet come off the ground an inch or so. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then if they're really like just jumping and they don't even know how or why they're jumping, that's called ulas. Ulas. You know, there's a place in, where is that? That's the Sindhi Collins called Ulas Nagar. Ulas Nagar. Ulas Nagar means USA, was it? Yeah, these Sindhi people are very clever because they like to make money by cheating. So it's popular around the world if you make a product and you write on the product, made in USA. Made in USA means it must have quality and you can charge a good price for it. Levi's, made in USA, and like Sony, made in Japan or whatever. Made in USA. So this group of Sindhi businessmen got together and they bought a large tract of land outside of Bombay. And then when you own a big piece of land, you can give it a name. Like we say, Hare Krishna Land, Hare Krishna Hill, all these things in Madras or Delhi. So they gave the name of the place Ulas Nagar. How's that become USA?
United Sindhi Association.
Oh, yeah. The village is called Ulas Nagar, but that whole area of all those people, all those businessmen, is called United Sindhi Association. So some are manufacturing shoes, some are manufacturing Levi's and clothes and cosmetics. So everyone that's part of that association, United, they can write made in USA. So they do that, and they export all around the world, China and Malaysia, and people say, oh, it's made in USA. So this cheating goes on. This is one of the beautiful qualities of the conditioned soul. I think it's called Vipralipsa, actually. Vipralipsa is cheating. Some people use it to their advantage, to the disadvantage of others. One man's advantage is another man's disadvantage. But here, Kalidas is getting a great advantage Because he's getting this prem by eating the, drinking the saliva and the remnants, this Vaishnava Chishta from Jata Thakur. E mata jata Vaishnava vaise gurudesh kalidasa iche sabar nila avishesh. In this way, Kalidasa ate the remnants of food left by all the Vaishnavas residing in Bengal. Se Kalidasa jabe nila chale aila, Mahaprabhu tanar upar mahakripa koila. When Kalidas visited Jagannath Puri, Nilachal, Mahaprabhu bestowed great mercy upon him, mahakripa. Pratidina Prabhu jari, janadarshan, jala karangalana govinda, jai Prabhu san. Mahaprabhu would regularly visit the temple of Jagannath every day, and at that time Govinda, his personal servant, used to carry his water pot and go with him. Singadwaraina utardiki, kapatera adhe, vaisha, bahachalatale, ache eka nimnagari. On the northern side of the Singadwara gate, behind the door, there are 22 steps leading to the temple. At the bottom of those steps is a ditch. Se ghare karena prabhu, para prakshalane, tabikari bare jaya ishvara dharshane. Mahaprabhu would wash his feet in this ditch, and then he would enter the temple to see Jagannath. So this is the standard of behavior. Lord Chaitanya is the ideal devotee and setting the proper standard of behavior in all his dealings. This is called Mandir Achar. If one comes in a temple, there are particular activities he should do. Firstly, as so when he enters the temple grounds, he washes his feet. And secondly, he rings the bell. Outside the temple, there's some facility for ringing the bell. He rings the bell before he enters the temple, because the temple is the house of the Lord, and the Lord is engaged in his confidential pastimes there. So we should have some permission before we enter. We don't just bust in the doors like some Wild West movie. Some Wild West movie and the cowboys come in, kick open the barroom door, here I am. Don't. It's not like that. We have to make some announcement. And as there is no bell provided in the temple, many of the temples in Vrindavan, they used to have bells. Radhadaman and other temples, they had bells in the early days, but Vrindavan being as it is, those bells walked away, so to speak. So there hasn't been any bells for many years there. So the devotees know the etiquette before they enter Radhadamodar. They say, Jai Damodar! Jai Damodar! Jai Giriraj! Giriraj Maharaj Ki! And they walk in the temple. Not they just slide in like some chore. Like here in the morning, people come in the temple, they open the door and slide in quietly like they're going to steal something. So that's not, Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna's very formal. See, Indian people think that Krishna is like an Indian. Because in America, everyone knocks on the door before they enter. They ring the bell, in Europe also. They ring the bell or they knock on the door. And someone says, yes? Who is it? It's the police. I'm not here. So they knock on the door. They ring the doorbell. But India has a custom that they usually don't have any doors to begin with. In the village, they don't have any doors. At least traditionally. So there's nothing to knock on. So they would just walk in. And even if they have doors, people haven't really got it in their samskaras. But doors are a type of impediment. Because we've been staying in Delhi so many years and behind a closed door in a guest house. We're sitting there, all of a sudden a door walks in and people walk in. Maharaj! I said, yeah, Haribo. Did you ever think about knocking? Oh, knocking? What's knocking? They don't really have it in their mind. It's not programmed in their chitta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's showing, first we should wash our feet, then we should make some sound with the bell. If there's no bell provided, then we have our own ganta, we make our own sound. Jai Damodar, Jai Giriraj. And then we go in and pay obeisances. Firstly, you're supposed to pay obeisances from a distance and then closer. As soon as you walk into a temple, like we go on Parikrama, we enter Haridev Mandir, and as soon as we cross the threshold, we offer obeisances, and then we go closer, and again we offer. Maybe you've noticed when we do Parikrama. Sometimes somebody sees their Gurudev. They see him, but he doesn't see them. So then they pay obeisances. Then they come in front of the Guru. And then they don't pay obeisances when they come in front of him. And if the Guru is in a mood of teaching anything, usually they don't care. But if the Guru is in a mood of teaching anything, he said, actually, if they're a new devotee, he'll say, the etiquette is that one should pay obeisances when he greets a spiritual master or meets him. Then the disciple, who is pretty much operating out of false ego, will say, I already did it, but you didn't see. That's the basic, you know, false ego in action, which is usually on duty 24 hours a day. It never quits till we come to the platform of Bhava. The level of Bhava, then the false ego moves out of the way. And then we get Gopi's ego comes inside, Gopi Bhava. But until then, it's Ishra Bhav, Arta Bhav, Ishra Bhav, Kam Bhav, Purusha Bhav. So the level of Bhava Bhakti, then that Bhav retires and Gopi Bhava rises. If someone was actually approaching such humble realization, he would say, Jai Gurudev, and then no defense. What's the loss? Prabhupada used to glorify his devotees. Once he was in the car and he was driving down on some farm. I forget what farm. New Talavan or something. And it was raining and the road was all muddy. And devotees came out to greet Prabhupada. And ladies were on one side of the road and the men were on the other. And as the car got closer, then all the ladies fell down and offered obeisances. You know, just fell down and offered obeisances. Not dandavas, but obeisances. And their nice saris and hairdo and everything. And the mud, and all the men were standing like this, Jai Prabhupada. The men were at the temple, they were just like, oh, it's too much muddy down there. And Prabhupada turned to his servant, and he said, just see this natural simplicity of these women, these lady devotees. By that simplicity, they'll go back to Godhead. Because they didn't think, they just thought, oh, this Gurudev is coming. And forget about the sari and the mud and everything. But the brahmacharis and sannyasis, Jai Prabhupada. So, we have to learn the proper behavior. Govindere Mahaprabhu Kareche Niyam Morapara Jalajena Nalaya Konajan. Mahaprabhu ordered his personal servant, Govinda, that no one should take the water that washed his feet. Prani Machalahitena Payase jal, antaranga bhaktalaya kali kona chal. Because of the Lord's strict order, no living being could take that water from his feet. Some of his intimate devotees, however, would take it by some trick. It was called bahiranga bhakta and antaranga bhakta. It says in other places, this term comes up several times in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the bahiranga bhaktas are those devotees that are following Srivas Thakur and others, and they're considered to be in Dasyabhav or in Shantaras. The Antaranga Bhaktas are the followers of Gadadhar, and also Nityananda, Dvaita. But Antarangas are the, especially as mentioned, the followers of Gadadhar. Especially the followers, the Antaranga Bhaktas are the followers of Lord Chaitanya and Madhurya Bhav, like six Goswamis and others, that are in Sakhi Bhav or Madhurya or Manjri Bhav. So some of these inner circle of devotees, Antaranga Bhaktas, even it says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread this Prem Dharma Sankirtan through the agency of his Antaranga Bhaktas. The Antaranga Bhaktas, those that are representing the Sarupa Shakti, the internal potency of Madhurya Bhav, they're the ones that are actually spreading the Prem Nam Sankirtan. And the others are preaching and spreading Harinam, but this actual Braj Bhakti, specifically in Manjri Bhav or Madhurya Bhav, is spread by the Antaranga Bhaktas. Like the six Goswamis. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitami Inabhutale. Rupa Goswami is carrying that heart's desire. Nityananda, He was preaching, but Nityananda was preaching with his coward boys, with Dwadasa Gopal. He was preaching in Bengal, but he wasn't so much directly giving this Braj Bhakti or Madhurya Bhakti that the six Goswamis were giving. What it says, Ekdin Prabhu Tahan Para Prakshalite Kalidasa Asi Tahan Patilenahate. One day, Mahaprabhu was washing his feet in that place, in that ditch at the bottom of those 22 steps leading to the temple. Kalidas came and extended his palm to take the water. Ek anjali, dui anjali, teen anjali, pila. Ek do teen. Ek anjali, dui anjali, teen anjali. Tabe Mahaprabhu tanre nisheda karila. Kalidas drank 1, 2, and 3 palmfuls. Then Mahaprabhu forbade him to drink more. There's no need to drink any more. One palmful eliminates all your previous karma. One palmful eliminates anything that's going on right now. And the other palmful takes you to Nitya Lila. So you don't need any more. 3 is enough. He says, Atapara arana karira punarbhar etavata vancha puran karilan tumar. Do not act in this way anymore. I have fulfilled your desire as far as possible. So that's it. What more is there? Desires of the past, desires of the present, desires of the future. Well, 3 palmfuls will cover everything. Sarvagya Shiromani Chaitanya Ishvar Vaishnave Tanhara Vishvas Janena Antar. Mahaprabhu is the most exalted omniscient personality of Godhead. Supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, he knew that Kalidas, in the core of his heart, had full faith in the Vaishnavas. Sarvagya Shiromani Chaitanya Ishvara Vaishnava Tanhara Vishwas Janani Nantar. Full faith in the Vaishnavas. Se Guna Lana Prabhu Tanre Tushta Hoyla Anira Durlava Prasada Tanhare Karila. Because of this quality, Vaishnava Vishwas, Mahaprabhu satisfied Kalidas with mercy not attained by anyone else. Durlava prasada tanhare karila. Durlava prasad, very rarely attained mercy, was given to Kalidas by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he gave a strict order to Govinda that no one should be allowed to drink the water from his feet. Kalidas drank it three times. So this is, and because Lord Chaitanya wanted to show, he wanted to teach something here, that he's very pleased when someone becomes a servant of the Vaishnavas. Now, Kalidas had so much faith in the Vaishnavas, he didn't measure the Vaishnavas, big or small. This is a Brahmin Vaishnava or Shudra or lower caste. He honored them all equally. He served them all equally. He was eager to take all the remnants. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased by this equal vision, samadristi. He was so much pleased that he gave him a great reward. He gave him the water of his feet. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us that, like Kalidas, we should also honor all the Vaishnavas and be very much appreciative of all the different levels of Vaishnavas and have full faith in them. He had so much faith, he wasn't thinking, oh, this is a low-class Vaishnava, his remnants, his Vaishnava uchishta, the food from his mouth, and maybe contaminated, or maybe I get some disease, or I'm a bigger Vaishnava than he is. He never thought anything like this. He just thought all the Vaishnavas are great devotees, and I want to get the mercy of all of them. They're all to be worshipable by me, and I want the mercy of all of them. This kind of attitude of appreciating all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, he was taking the remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. So this attitude was so much pleasing to Krishna, Bhagavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he said, I fulfilled your desire as far as possible by giving him 3 palmfuls of water from his feet. So Lord Chaitanya, Durlava Prasad, Anyera, never attained by others or not attained by others, he gave him Durlava Prasad, very rarely attained Prasad. So this is Krishna's Kaviraj is narrating this part of the story to help us understand more and more about value of the Vaishnavas. The story continues on. At another time, after they had Lord Chaitanya visiting the temple of Jagannath, Tabe Prabhu Karila Jagannath Darshan Gareyasi Madhyan Karila Bhojan. After offering obeisances to Nrisingadeva, Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Jagannath. I believe outside, of course, there's a Nrisingadeva Mandir near Gundicha. It may have been there. Well, as far as I know, also in the actual complex of Jagannath Temple, which we've never seen. But there are several little temples inside. There's a temple of Ekadashi Devi. There's a temple of also Nrisingadeva, I understand. So I think this is referring to that. After taking darshan, Lord Chaitanya came home. He bathed and took his lunch. And guess who's hiding outside? Bahir Dwari Ache Kali Dasa Pradyasha Kariya Govindere Tana Prabhu Kahena Janiya. While standing outside the door, expecting the remnants of food from Mahaprabhu, Kalidas was standing. Knowing this, Mahaprabhu gave an indication to Govinda. Mahaprabhur Ingita Govinda Savajane Kalidasera Dila Prabhur Shesha Patradhane. Govinda understood all the indications of Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he immediately delivered the remnants of Mahaprabhu's food to Kalidas. We were saying that in a previous class, how an expert servant, if we want, we were discussing about Manjari Bhav, about Radharani, how she's so much tadatmika with Krishna, how her heart is melted into the heart of Krishna, and Krishna's heart is melted into her heart. And she knows all of his wishes and wants by the slightest indication or movement of his eyebrow, or we were saying how they indicate the different sankhet kunjas by the Krishna will lean his hand on the floor and one mandri will step, touch her toe to his index finger. And that when she's serving out food and prasad in the morning time at Nandagram, and by touching his index finger with her toe, that indicates that Krishna should meet Radharani in this particular kunj today. So the other way, it's called signal. The word sankhet means signal. So they signal or indicate the kunja that they'll meet in. So all these subtleties of communication is well known as one becomes more and more intimate with the beloved. There's all kinds of subtle communication. So there's no one more intimate with Lord Chaitanya in Puri than Govinda Das, his personal servant. So that's being shown here. Without saying anything, Govinda Das understood the mind and heart of Mahaprabhu, that Mahaprabhu wanted to give his remnants to Kalidas, who, without even saying anything, I mean, without even indicating, Mahaprabhu already knew that he was outside the door. In Gita, Mahaprabhu in Gita, Vaishnavara Shesha Bhakshanera Etika Mahima, Kalidase Payolaila Prabhura Kripa Simha. Taking the remnants of the food of the Vaishnavas is so valuable that it induced Mahaprabhu to offer Kalidas his supreme mercy. So obviously, he's leading up to a conclusion here that the remnants of the Vaishnavas are certainly to be aspired for. Tate Vaishnavera Juta Kao Chari Grina Laj Jahoite Paiva Nija Vanchita Sabakaj. Therefore, Grina Laja, giving up hatred and hesitation or shyness, try to eat the remnants of the food of the Vaishnavas, for you will thus be able to achieve your desired goal of life. Krishnero Chishtahaya Mahaprasada Nam Bhaktishesha Haila Maha Mahaprasada Kyan. The remnants of food offered to Krishna are called Mahaprasadam. After the same Mahaprasadam has been taken by a devotee, the remnants are elevated to Maha Mahaprasad. This is right from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hanchi Lila, chapter 16, verse 59. Sometimes some devotees, they say there is no such thing as Maha Mahaprasad. I've even heard on some tapes. There's prasad, which we offer to the Lord, and whatever balance is there, that's prasad, and the actual prasad on the plate of the Lord that's offered in front of him is called Mahaprasad. And if some devotee takes that Mahaprasad, it's still Mahaprasad. I've heard lectures like this. But here it's saying, Bhakta Shesha Maha Maha Prasad Akyan. Akyan means it's named Maha Maha Prasad. Now this is the one we're hearing about. Bhakta Paraduli Yara Bhakta Parajal Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. Teen, Mahabal. What can that? It's powerful. Okay, it's powerful. What is your power? Someone says, I'm very powerful. Well, how do we measure? What is your power? I have $100 million in my pocket. Oh, you have some money power. Or he says, oh, watch me. I can lift 50,000 or 500 kilos weight. Oh, very strong man. So he's saying these are three very powerful things. The water that washes the feet of the Vaishnava, Bhakta Pada Jal, the Bhakta Uchishta Avashesh, what does he say? Bhukta Avashesh, which is also called Uchishta. It's very powerful. The food from the mouth of the devotee. And the other is the Bhakta Duli, this dust, his footsteps or the dust that he walks in. I remember once we had the opportunity a few times to be on a morning walk in Los Angeles with Prabhupada, 1976. There were many devotees there. And Prabhupada was walking along, and then he was wearing his shoes, and as he walked on the sand, and he felt he wanted to walk bare feet in the sand, which is very pleasing. He took off his shoes, and his shoes had some sand inside. And so one sannyasi got those shoes, and then he put some of that sand on his head, and then all the devotees ran over to him and said, we want some of that sand. This is the Bhakta Paraduli. This is the dust from the feet of the pure devotee. So everyone knew that was an important thing to get. So everyone was running over there and clamoring and for the dust. And we're just about 8 or 9 feet behind Prabhupada, because he left his shoes and he kept walking. And then we're making kind of commotion. Well, he's saying, give me some of that, and they're kind of fighting over the shoes, and Prabhupada turned around. He just turned around and looked. And then he said, what's going, you know, he said, what's going on as he turned around. He said, what's going on? He turned around, and he saw we were all like little children, although we're supposed to be grown up, but like little children fighting over the dust of his sneakers, little rubber shoes he wore. And he smiled. Just a big smile on his face. Okay, children, carry on. So like this, devotees are mad after these seemingly insignificant substances. But Krishna's Kaviraj says that these are not so insignificant. Etena seva haite Krishna prema hai puna puna sarva shastre fukariya kai. Fukariya, loudly. Sarva Shastra, loudly the Shastras declare, Etena Seva, Haita. If you serve these three things, by rendering service to these three things, Premahai, ecstatic love for Krishna will arise. By rendering service to these three, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. In all the revealed scriptures, this is loudly declared again and again. Tate Bharabara Kahi. Shuna Bhaktagan, Vishwas Karyakara, Etena Sevan. Therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again. It's very nice. Prabhupada is really in the spirit of Krishna's Kaviraj's Bhav. Because these words in the translation are not exactly there, in the word for word, but he's seeing the Bhav. I insist again and again, Bharabara, please keep faith in these three, Vishwas, and render service to them without hesitation. Tina haite Krishnanam premena ulas, Krishnara prasada tate sakshi kalidhas. From these three, one achieves the highest goal of life, premulas, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. The evidence is Kalidas himself. So this concludes the story of Nilachali Mahaprabhu Rahe Emate Kalidase Mahakripa Koila Alakshite. In this way, Mahaprabhu remained at Jagannath Puri Nilachal, and he invisibly bestowed great mercy upon Kalidas. Now, this is a story of Kalidas and Nectar Hound. And tomorrow is a story of Sri Chaitanya instructs Raghunath Das, the Grihastha, because he wasn't Raghunath Das Goswami yet. So tomorrow we'll hear some instructions Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das in his household life. Any questions about Kalidas? Anything? So we better be careful when we dispose our leaf plates from now on. Someone maybe better be careful. And you see, when the Vaishnava Samaj, whenever there's a feast, the Vaishnavas are always very careful about picking up their plate and taking it out somewhere. And the conveners of the prasadam, they're always saying, no, leave your plate. You ever see this? And the Vaishnavas say, no, wait a minute, there's something going on here. No, I'll take my plate. No, you leave your plate. No tension, leave your plate. And there's fighting, they're folding it up and say, no. So you see these very advanced devotees, they're maybe a little bit selfish with their mercy sometimes. So they're very insistent upon taking their plate outside, practically have a fist fight about it. So that's also another mood, playing hard to get.